Congregation, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's my privilege to welcome you all this morning, also the guests in our midst, and those who may be following the service via the live stream. I do that in Christian manner. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. We sing to God's praise from Psalm 118, first verse, come thank the Lord, his goodness praising. God's love was also shown, particularly when he rescued his people out of their slavery in Egypt and brought them to himself and spoke to them the 10 words of the covenant that they may be able to respond in thankfulness. Even so, we hear those same 10 words that we may respond to the love of God shown to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Following upon the reading of God's law, we'll be singing from Psalm 86, verses 5 and 6. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
Thank you.
Let us come before our Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, indeed you prove yourself to be our Heavenly Father every day again. As you do, comfort and strengthen us by your word and spirit, by that gospel of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that we are not worthy to receive your love and mercy, for we have not earned it. We have earned only your wrath and indignation. And yet for our sakes, your wrath has been poured out upon your Son, Jesus Christ, as he suffered on our behalf on the cross. And Lord, as we consider that, every time again, it humbles us. For we recognize that that ought to have been our punishment, suffering your eternal condemnation. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. And we therefore ask you to forgive our sins and transgressions, even those of the past week, for we have not lived in that perfect love demonstrated to us by your Son, Jesus Christ. But we do ask, Lord, not only for your forgiveness, but for your continuing transforming work by your word and spirit, that more and more we would become like your Son, Jesus Christ, to reflect him, and to reflect that change that he, through spirit and word, works within us. We would learn to walk in his love. Lord, we ask also that you would accept our praises this morning. May our singing come from the heart. And we pray that you would speak to us by your holy word, that that word would do its work within us by your spirit to strengthen, to exhort, but also to comfort us. Bless also the celebration of the Holy Supper as we once again, by this sacrament, are able to gather around your table as a communion of brothers and sisters, communing with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask for your blessing humbly in the name of your Son, our living Lord and Saviour, who together with you and the Holy Spirit receives all glory and honour forevermore. Amen. Opportunity is given to you for the collection this morning, this for the work of the deacons. Next week, both collections will be for mission aid in Indonesia in respect of Cyclone Seroja. Following upon the collection this morning, we'll be singing from Psalm 18, the verses 2 and 6. In Scripture this morning, we read from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11. And we'll read from verse 17 to the end of the chapter. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. We also read what we confess in Lord's Day 28 of the Heidelberg Catechism. How does the Lord's Supper signify and seal to you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup in remembrance of him. With this command, he gave these promises. First, "As surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely was his body offered for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross." Second, As surely as I receive from the hand of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord, as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely does he himself nourish and refresh my soul to eternal life with his crucified body and shed blood. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his shed blood? First, to accept with a believing heart all the suffering and the death of Christ, and so receive forgiveness of sins and life eternal. Second, to be united more and more to his sacred body through the Holy Spirit, who lives both in Christ and in us. Therefore, although Christ is in heaven and we are on earth, yet we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones, and we forever live and are governed by one Spirit, as the members of our body are by one soul. Where has Christ promised that he will nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood, as surely as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This promise is repeated by Paul, where he says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Following upon the preaching of God's word, we'll be singing from Psalm 118, verse 6. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, having read that passage from 1 Corinthians 11, I'm sure you'll agree, it comes rather unexpected, and I'm sure it came like that also when it was first read to the congregation in Corinth. You see, the congregation in Corinth had written to Paul first. They had a number of questions about some issues and doctrines that they were having problems with, or questions that they had about the church. But one of the things they had not written to Paul about was Lord's Supper. And yet the apostle has learned what has been going on in the congregation of Corinth. And to put it mildly, he is not happy. So what went wrong in Corinth? I'll briefly give you a little bit of background, then we'll look at what actually happened in Corinth, and finally, we will reflect on what we can learn from this for our own celebration of Lord's Supper. To understand what was going on in Corinth, brothers and sisters, you do need to understand a little bit about how people came together for a communal meal in those days. Of course, in the first century, it was common for Christian churches to have their main worship service in the morning that lasted several hours and began at daybreak. They came together again in the afternoon, much like we do, except they came together for a communal meal. The letter of Jude calls that a love feast. And at some point during that communal meal, they also celebrated the Holy Supper with the bread and the cup, much like we do. You have to remember, of course, that back in the first century, there weren't any watches. And therefore, you could say, towards the end of the afternoon is when we'll come together, but people did tend to come in dribs and drabs. And it was a normal Jewish custom of the day when you did have a communal meal, and you expect indeed that not everybody's going to attend at exactly the same time, but when somebody comes in, you give them a cup of wine, you give them a plate of nibbles, and you seat them on a chair, and you'll have something to do while you're waiting for everybody else to come in. And it was also a very good Jewish custom that after you'd been given your cup of wine and your plate of nibbles and you'd sat down, that before you touched it, you would say your own blessing to the Lord God for the wine and the nibbles. Well, what happened at Corinth? We've just read. Let me read again verse 21 from chapter 11. Paul says, in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and the other is drunk. And he says at the very end of the chapter, the last couple of verses, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. What we need to imagine, brothers and sisters, is that the tables had been laid out for the meal that was expected for the people. And when people came in and they got their glass of wine and their plate of nibbles, in fact, that wasn't sufficient for many people. Those that came early began to actually eat from the meal itself, the dinner. They were hungry. And they could take that wine, and because it was the practice to sit down on a chair and to have your own little prayer for the meal, then you just kept eating. And if, in your opinion, others were coming too late, you ate, and you drank. And by the time the last people were coming in, there was nothing left. And there was nothing to eat. And the apostle even accuses some among them of having drunk too much wine. And then I think you can understand when the apostle Paul says, this is not the way to come together. And this is certainly not the setting for a communal celebration of the Lord's Supper. Now, when you read some commentaries on Corinthians, they sometimes might suggest, well, you see, what was happening was people were bringing their own dinner and the rich people had enough and the poor people didn't. But Paul says nothing about rich versus poor in the congregation here. In fact, if that was the scenario, then his advice at the very end would seem very cruel. If anyone's hungry, let him eat at home. In other words, if you're too poor to bring a meal for yourself to the communal celebration, it's your problem. Rather, what was happening was that indeed, people were eating from the food before waiting for everybody to turn up. The point was, you could have a glass of wine and you could have some nibbles while you waited. But the main meal was to be a communal meal. And at some point during that communal meal, we can probably guesstimate that it would have been towards the end, the Lord's Supper was celebrated. When a piece of bread was taken and broken, and the cup was shared for those who were celebrating the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and remembering his death on behalf of our sins. And that brings us to Paul's specific comments about the institution of the Lord's Supper. For he recites how on the night in which the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he instituted this way of remembering his death for our sakes. It's clear that the Lord's Supper is, on the one hand, not a reenactment of Passover. Yes, the Lord's Supper occurred at Passover when the Lord Jesus was celebrating that meal with his disciples. And yet when the Lord Jesus chose to represent his body, which would be broken on behalf of our sins, he did not take a piece of lamb. He took a piece of bread. And so when the early Christians were celebrating Lord's Supper in the context of a communal meal, they were doing that in the context of a normal communal meal. But at a certain point, yes, they broke that bread and they shared that cup to remember the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what the Apostle Paul is even saying here is stronger yet. He's saying that the celebration of the Lord's Supper isn't even about sharing a communal meal. He says, listen, if it comes down to it and you are hungry, eat first at home. The Lord's Supper is about remembering the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for this reason already, in the second century, the Christian churches had separated the celebration of the Lord's Supper from a communal meal. During the second century, they still came together for a communal meal on Sunday afternoons, but they brought the Lord's Supper over to the morning service using just the tokens of the bread and the cup. The Lord's Supper, when it comes down to it, says the Apostle Paul in verse 26, is the proclamation of the Lord's death until he comes. That is what it's about. When we eat this bread, he says, and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And we do that indeed, communally, together. For the Lord died, yes, for you and for me, as his church, his body. And therefore, it was so terrible when the Corinthians did this in the context of their own self-indulgence in that common meal. Well, brothers and sisters, what do we learn for our celebration of the supper? In the first place, rather obvious that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is our proclamation of the Lord's death. Each and every one of us that partakes of that bread and of that cup is proclaiming the Lord's death for him or herself until he comes, together with the body of Christ. And we remember the living Jesus who died on our behalf. But in that sense, celebration of Lord's Supper is not a funeral memorial. We don't mourn, and we don't certainly mourn our own sins when we are at the table. We mourn them before we come, as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the Holy Supper. But when we're at supper, what we are doing is proclaiming Christ's death to pay for our sins. In other words, to grant us forgiveness, knowing that Christ is our risen Lord. And so when we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, let us consider not the extent of my own sin, that ought to have been considered beforehand, but consider the extent of your forgiveness, that through Christ's death we have been freed from the consequence of sin. We have been forgiven and we have become Christ's to live for him and only for him. and consider also. Now, this is given in the context of a gathering of brothers and sisters. You don't celebrate Lord's Supper alone. It's a celebration that can only be had in the context of the gathering of the body of Jesus Christ. Christ brings us together with all of our frustrations, with our pasts, with our struggle with sin. But it makes us, as Christ makes us, a new creation. And together, Christ is busy with us, with his word and spirit, to transform us, to be like him. And together, we celebrate as broken people, made new in him. Let us this morning consider these things, brothers and sisters, as we are privileged to celebrate his death on our behalf. God be praised. Amen. Let's sing from Psalm 118, verse 6. There is but one announcement this morning. An attestation has been received from the Free Reformed Church of Byford for Brother Clayton Wells, and we welcome him as a member of this congregation. In our prayer this morning, we will, among other things, also be praying for the family of Sister Afine Bosfeld, who passed away at Fairhaven last night. I understand there is much family of hers also in this congregation. Let us come before our Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have given us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, that he might fully pay for all our sins. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the privilege of being able to celebrate that together around the table in the form of Holy Supper. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us as we do that. That through this sacrament and the working of your word and spirit, we would indeed be comforted and strengthened in that faith and trust in you. And Lord, difficulty at the present time. We think of those who are in mourning, Lord, after the passing of Sister Afine Bosveld. Death always brings with it sadness for us. And yet, Lord, we pray at the same time for that unspeakable comfort that we may have when someone dies in the faith, knowing that you have promised the resurrection. Knowing that you have promised a life eternal in your Son. And for that reason, we can gather here and proclaim his death today in gladness, knowing that he lives. And that that same promise of life is for us. Lord, we also pray for those who are suffering from sickness or recovering. We ask, Lord, that you would be with our sister Esther Musker as she recovers from a difficult birthing. We pray that you'd be with our brother Matt Posmus, who has been in and out of hospital in the past week. Grant him a good recovery. We pray, Lord, for our brother Jack Swartz, who has been struggling with his health over the past weeks. We ask, if it be your will, Lord, that he might also come back to full strength. We pray too, Lord, that you would be with our sister Woonings, that you would grant her the strength and the comfort that she needs, also to be able to serve you with the restrictions, the physical restrictions that she is now dealing with. Be also with her husband. And Lord, we also pray for brothers and sisters far away. We pray for those in Indonesia, particularly as they may be struggling after the recent cyclone. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them and enable us also next week to show our love for them and being able to help them in their need. We pray, Lord, for brothers and sisters in Canada, particularly those in Ontario, where there is a complete emergency lockdown again at this time. We think of the students we are privileged to support at seminary. We think of the seminary itself dealing with the lockdown and with online classes and even exams at this time. And we pray particularly that you would be with professors and students, but also with Professor Van Ralter, that you may yet grant him recovery. Be near to him and surround him also, Lord, with your presence. Lord, these things we bring before you as our Heavenly Father, asking that you would be with each and every one of us, for you know us even better than we know ourselves, that we may receive from you daily the strength to live a life that is pleasing to you, and that shows true gratitude for what you have done for us and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, at the Lord's Supper, we wish to invite all confessing members of this congregation in Rockingham, as well as the following visitor who's passed on an attestation to the consistory, namely Sister Sinead Berkeley of the Free Reformed Church of Busselton. Our celebration of the Lord's Supper is closely supervised. If you're not a member of this congregation or an announced visitor, while we encourage you to remain with us in church, we ask that you do not come forward to join in with eating and drinking at the table. This is in no way a judgment on your faith in Christ. Instead, it is because the Lord teaches us in 1 Corinthians 11 that the Lord's Supper is a communal celebration, and that as a church community, we are responsible to keep the table holy. Further, we care for the body of Christ and the unity in faith that we share as members of his church. We call one another to account, and the celebration of the Lord's Supper is a central part to the way we practice this care and discipline for our members. For these reasons, we believe it is good and according to the word of God for us to supervise the Lord's table in this way. Let us now read the form for the celebration of the Holy Supper, and we'll find that on page 603 of our Book of Praise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Listen to the words of the institution described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. "But I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. In order that we may now celebrate this holy supper of the Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart, whether he also believes the sure promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience, whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded, and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. And therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord, and we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone, or who serve him in their own manner, all who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way, all who do not diligently attend the worship services, and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments, all who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them, all who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him, all who, either within or outside of holy wedlock, do not keep their bodies pure, all who by stealing, greed, or extravagance lead a worldly life, all liars, backbiters, and slanderers, briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving by leading an offensive life. While they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food, which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. And therefore we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let's now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we should use it in remembrance of him. And we're to remember him in the following manner. First, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that he assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of him sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound that he might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, he was condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross, that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this he has taken our curse upon himself, that he might fill us with his blessing. On the cross he humbled himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. Then he called out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That we might be accepted by God and nevermore forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, "It is finished." In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him. He taught us to understand that as often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we are reminded and assured of his hearty love and faithfulness towards us. It is a sure pledge that he has given his body and shed his blood for us. Otherwise, we would have suffered eternal death. He nourishes and refreshes our hungry and thirsty souls with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as certainly as this bread is broken before our eyes and this cup is given to us, and we eat and drink in remembrance of him. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. It is the only ground for our salvation, and thereby he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By this Spirit who dwells in Christ as the head, and in us as his members, we have true communion with him and share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit we're also united in true brotherly love, as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, "Because there's one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As one bread is baked out of many grains, and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another, and shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds." Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. To receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon his holy name. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us, and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves and confess our Saviour. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorious body, and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen. Let us now profess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as we sing that via hymn 1. Brothers and sisters, in all of it, we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread. We must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ our advocate is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. In our preparation for the first table, we'll sing together from Psalm 57, verse 1. The bread, which we break, is the communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you, remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. We're going to read together from the Gospel of John as soon as I've got my Bible. John chapter 13. This, of course, is part of the discourse that John tells us about the Last Supper when the Lord's Supper was instituted. Chapter 13, we'll read from verse 31 to 35. So when he, that is Judas, had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Let us sing from hymn 24, verse 1. The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. We read once again from the Gospel according to John, and we'll read from John 14, the first four verses. The Lord Jesus speaks as follows, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Let's sing again from hymn 24, verse 2.
The Spirit.
The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. We continue our reading from the Gospel of John, and we'll read the verses 5 through 7 of chapter 14. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Let's sing again from hymn 24, verse 3.
Oh,
The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. We read again from John chapter 14, this time the verses 15 through 18. The Lord Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Let's sing verse 4 of hymn 24.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let us together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all good things? But God shows his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. But if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Therefore my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in your boundless mercy you've given us your only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise you that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to life eternal. We thank you that you give us a true faith through which we may share in such great benefits. Through your Son you have instituted the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith. We earnestly ask you, faithful God and Father, that by your Holy Spirit this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ, your beloved Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Our final song this morning will be Psalm 118, verse 8. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.